Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sunday, everyone. I'm Jason Ophir, and we're back for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And as always, I'm here with my co-host, Sherry Pang. Now, Sherry, I know you're mobile right now, right?
I am mobile for the, yes, I am. And it's
awesome.
I'm watching a beautiful sunset. It's amazing. You can see it's bright and, you know, through the trees. And as a matter of fact, I am at a cemetery just parked over here so I can listen to you guys. It's called Miller's Cemetery. So I'm parked in the cemetery, and here we are talking about Paranormal Horizons.
So we're broadcasting live from a probably a haunted cemetery. I mean, aren't they all haunted? And my haunted basement. So if anything paranormal happens this evening, we'll be able to discuss it.
And record it, right? With EVPs or pictures,
yeah,
or something, right, Jake? Oh,
there'll my
be goodness.
A record.
Yeah. That's crazy. But anyway, tonight, I'm so glad. And we haven't had him back for a while. The guy is very well known and sought after in TV and radio and just all around, just a sweetheart. Last time he was supposed to be on, he just lost his father. And we want to welcome back Lon Strickler. Many of you don't know who he is, but he deals with everything from in the paranormal. Don't quote me on it, but I'm not sure how many years he's been a researcher and an expert, but I believe at least 30, maybe 40 years. And the guy just knows his stuff, and I'm glad to welcome him back. So, yeah, I'm excited to have him back, along with our other guests that we have at a weekly basis. And it's just amazing. These guys are just the expert of the field. And, you know, it just really humbles me to be able to have them come in on the show and be able to share their experiences and educate our listeners.
And I'll bring them on in just one second. But I hadn't had a chance to talk to you about this. But I hadn't, it's not really an idea. It's something I used to do on the show way back, and I wanted your feedback on it. Way back in the day,
okay,
I used to actually pre-record a news program, and I'm considering doing that again. So basically how that would work is sometime in the week prior to the show, I would pre-record like a news reading with sound effects and stuff like that. I'm considering doing that again. What do you think? So we would have a news segment, 5 minutes, probably no longer than 5 minutes for each show. What do you think about that?
I'd be open to it. It'd be something different.
Yeah, because I was thinking,
yeah,
I got a vacation coming up, and I'm thinking about, I'm just going to bury myself in my basement for a while, start working with the audio like I used to. You know, we used to play all these intros and commercials and extras and all that, and we haven't been playing that stuff lately, even though I still have it, but I'm considering, I want to revamp pretty much everything. So I think my vacation that's coming up is going to be a perfect time to do that. And I'll be honest with you, one of the reasons I'm really motivated to do that is we've become pretty dang popular in the paranormal podcast world. As I told you, I was starting to look at some statistics on how many people listen to this show and stuff like that, and our listenership has exploded. And the other thing I noticed, that if anybody goes into the Blog Talk Radio site, into the search bar, and you just type the word paranormal, this show is the first thing that pops up on the list. So I'm not sure how the metrics work for that. We used to be third, now we're first, so things are moving. It's time,
yay,
to invest more time in the show.
That's wonderful.
And that's
and
that.
You know, Jason, it's you know, October will be my third year with you, and I've enjoyed every bit of it. I mean, it's absolutely, we work together well as a team, and yes, we have times where you're not being able to be online, I mean, not on air at the times where we had technical difficulties, but I just love doing what I'm doing with you, and I love our guests, and it's a good way to just share and being able to help others. So that's what we're doing, is we're being able to share our guests and ourselves with our listeners and hope, take what you need and leave the rest. And like I said many times, the things that we post in Facebook or even, you know, whatever it is, it may not be our personal opinion or thought, but it's for entertainment purposes only.
Absolutely. Well, with that, we'll bring our guest on. I see he's in queue. Let's get him on.
Okay.
Hey, Lon, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Lon. Thanks. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you.
Good. Glad you're on air, and thank you for staying to be with us.
Appreciate being on.
So I got the impression this is just going to be kind of a paranormal free-for-all. Is that right, Sherry? We can just talk about whatever? We can pick each other's brain?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome.
We can talk about from sea monsters to all kinds of things.
Well, Lon, one of the things in my years in kind of in the field doing podcasting, the one thing that's really I'm such a big skeptic on are a lot of the cryptid stuff. So have you heard anything lately around anywhere in the world where there's new cryptid sightings, Bigfoot, anything like that? Is there anything that's standing out that you've run across?
Well, there's been a lot going on. I mean, this past 2 years have been pretty active for me and my team, especially with the sightings in Chicago, the winged humanoid sightings. That actually still continues in and around the Chicago area up into Wisconsin. And there have been a few sightings in other places, but this is a phenomena that we've really been concentrated on. And, of course, here in Pennsylvania, we've been working mostly with the upright canine-type beings that people are reporting. That started for us back in 2000. Let me get the date right. I guess 2015, we started receiving reports. And at this point now, we're close to 25 reports in the state of Pennsylvania.
So it sounds like there's a lot of activity. Is there any consensus or ideas, you know, what's going on out there? Or let me ask, what's the description of what's being spotted?
Well, in Chicago, which has been, there's been a lot of press about it. I wrote a book about it in December. These sightings of this 5 to 6 foot bat-like being, humanoid, tall and thin with a thin head. Some had crowns on the head, the wing shaped like that of a bat, with a wingspan of 10 to 12 foot, able to propel itself without opening its wings, I mean, actually from the ground up. And this thing turned up on several occasions. And in fact, we've got a total of over 70 sightings since March of 2017. Now, there have been a few previous sightings back in 2011, and off and on there's been a sighting scattered here and there. But for the most part, the flap was back in the early spring into early fall of 2017.
That's a lot of sightings, I mean, for such a short period of time. And they're all pretty much describing generally the same thing?
Yeah, for the most part. You know, some of the early sightings were described as being like a Mothman being or an insectoid. Then we had a few that they described as a large owl. But for the most part, 95% of the sightings have been this this bat-winged being.
Were they able to get
a close encounter of the body or the face?
Oh, yeah, we had several people that walked up onto this thing. I guess the most dramatic was in Bolingbrook, Illinois, which is a suburb west of Chicago, where this woman who would take a walk through the neighborhood playground and around there at nighttime, just a normal routine. And she walked up into this thing that was standing in the middle of a pavement. and it was very tall, and she just thought actually it was two people embracing. This was around about 10:30 at night, and as she got closer to it, she could hear this gargling sound coming from it. She wasn't sure what it was. She got it within about 15 feet of it, and it actually turned. And then she realized this wasn't two people embracing, but a large being. And the wings seemed to be wrapped around the body. I actually believe it was sleeping standing up, to be honest with you. And as soon as you saw it, you know, what it was, she was shocked by it. Now, the head wasn't exposed. It was covered by these wings that were wrapped around the body. And she got off the path, got onto the grass to get away from it. And after she was going away from it, she started to become very weak and tired, that she actually had to sit down on a bench and rest herself. She kept an eye on this thing, but it, you know, it continued to stay where it was. And she later regained herself a bit, got up, and quickly moved to her home, which was nearby. So as soon as she got home, she started checking online to try to get a description or, you know, to get an identification of what this thing was. And eventually she found my phone number and called me. And I guess she got a hold of me about 45 minutes later. And it was very dramatic. And her son was actually at home with her. And he wanted to go back out and see what it was. So what they did, I mean, this was before they called me. What they had done, he got in the car with her. They drove just down the street to the playground to see if they could find this thing. And he sensed something was looking at them. And as they went by, something stood up behind a large hedge. And he got a quick look at it, but didn't get a defining look. So they were kind of freaked out, and they went on home very quickly. Then they called me.
The first thing that pops in my head when I start hearing about owls, and I don't know why, maybe I've watched too much science fiction or documentaries, or, you know, creatures in the middle of the night. The first thing that pops in my head is aliens. You know, somebody's having an alien episode or abduction, and it's like some screen memory where they're seeing a being that's not really there because it's covering up the fact that they were abducted. That might be a little out there. I don't know.
Well, you know, at this point, I'm looking at all kinds of scenarios as to what this thing or these things are. Most of the sightings are very fleeting sightings, especially if the thing's flying. Many of the times it's been sighted, people say it's got red, bright eyes. It will leave out a shriek occasionally. It's been spotted by people in all ranges of life, including police officers. And it's, you know, though we got 70-odd reports so far, who knows how many people have actually seen this thing. I personally believe this is a being that comes from either another dimension or a parallel universe of some type and is coming through some type of portal or wormhole. They don't stay long. We did have a sighting in Chicago, actually not far from Wrigley Field, where these two older women saw this thing flying during the day, flying over an intersection in front of them, and it suddenly disappeared, just like it went into a void somewhere. And there was a person across the street from them who saw it as well, and they ran off. And of course, they made their way home very quickly. So, you know, we don't know what it is exactly. We can only speculate, but at this point now, for the most part, we believe this is some type of being that's coming in from another reality.
There hasn't been any sort of aggression or anything, any claims that anybody's been assaulted by it or killed or anything?
There have been some reports of this thing actually being aggressive, but there haven't been any physical contact. There was a report back in 2015 of a similar type being that followed this man and woman home. Now, this was in Chicago as well. And this thing actually landed on the car as they were parked and was able to get an arm in the side window and tried to attack the woman in the passenger side. They took off, and this thing actually followed them to their home. And when they got out of the car, this thing landed on her back and caused several lacerations on her back.
Wow.
So, you know, as far as actually attacking and physically making contact, that's the only one I know of.
I mean, if something like that happened to me, I would probably never go outside ever again, daylight or night. What about you, Sherry? If you'd seen something like that, how would you take that?
Well, definitely it would be very traumatic, and I don't know if I would go out for a while, but I would probably overcome it, probably. But it's amazing how something that most people cannot even fathom, something like this exists. There are things that we don't know that really do. This is probably just the tip of the iceberg, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure there's stuff going out there. You know, this whole parallel dimension thing, I don't think that's really outside of the realm of possibility. I don't know a lot about quantum theory or anything, but, you know, they're constantly discovering new things, and it wouldn't surprise me if something could cross the veil into our reality, and, you know, it just wouldn't be surprising to me.
I think it's very possible in the paranormal world as well as the natural world. For these unknown type of beings, and I'm talking about physical beings coming through some type of gateway or some type of portal. For the most part, when people talk about like ultra-terrestrials or interdimensional beings, they're referring to non-corporeal type of entities where there's no substance. Basically, it's like that of a spirit, but I do believe that there is a possibility that corporeal beings can manifest through wormholes or gateways to other dimensions or universes.
You ever seen that movie Stargate from back in the 90s?
Yeah,
that one?
Yeah, I did.
That's what I'm thinking. It would surprise me if the government has some sort of apparatus where they're able to, you know, open a wormhole somewhere else. And maybe that's how the world's going to end someday. You know, there's going to be an invasion. I know it's been done in movies. That would be kind of terrifying, though.
Well, I'm actually working on a theory now that I'm eventually going to write about that has something to do with this very subject, and the possibility that there very well may be a Stargate-like structure or whatever. And I really don't know what it is because it hasn't been found, but there's just a lot of evidence now that this theory may be real. And in particular, I'm talking about some of the discoveries in the past couple of years in Egypt and some of the theories that have come out of there. Now, you know, of course, I don't have any evidence to that, but there have been a lot of strange discoveries over the years that very well may come to light more broadly and kind of pique science's interest as to what, you know, the interdimensional theory really entails.
Mm. one of the things that pops into my mind right now, you're talking about wormholes and stuff, not really the same thing, but what popped in my head was all these stories I've been reading over the years about people working in mines and quarries and finding modern objects embedded in rock, which would indicate it's millions of years old. Have you ever heard anything about that? You know, people are finding like forged screws in rocks that are 200 million years old and stuff like that.
Yeah, these things turn up occasionally. I believe that some of them may be legitimate. There may have been other civilizations here that may have come in from the future at some point. I mean, you know, these people have had experiences with beings that don't necessarily look human but are humanoid-like. Who's to say that our descendants haven't come back from the future by some means, some type of time travel or through a wormhole or from the, you know, from another time to encounter the present day? I mean, I don't believe that's beyond reality. I think there's a very good chance that these unknown terrestrial, non-terrestrial beings that we see, that people see and encounter, may actually be evolved humans of some type.
Well, I know there's like physicists out there, and I don't know much about it. This is all above my brain power. I'm a working man. But that time really doesn't exist. It's an illusion. So, again, I don't know how that works, but it wouldn't surprise me if there's just some weird quantum thing going on with wormholes, time, and we're just kind of ignorant. We live our lives day to day, you know, not expanding our consciousness to try and understand what's the bigger picture. And I do think that there's a bigger picture going on here.
Well, I think the reality is that there are numerous parallel universes on different levels that we just can't detect, you know, at this point. Now, there just seem to be too many instances of people just disappearing, things just disappearing, and for no apparent reason. Who's to say that they haven't crossed the veil somehow and gotten into another parallel universe, another world? It just seems to happen a lot. A lot of unexplained disappearances throughout the world.
Do you think that the disappearances are just because of the time travel and maybe a portal, or do you think it could be the government coming in and abducting people? What's your take on that, Lon?
I guess it depends on the situation. I believe that it's possible that the government somehow is involved with some type of relationship with these non-terrestrials, to the point where some humans or animals or such are used for experimentation. I don't think it's as widespread as people say it is or believe it is, but I think it does happen. I mean, I'm pretty sure there are numerous facilities that this type of activity does occur. But I believe, for the most part, the disappearances, abductions occur because of some type of unknown opening into another reality. You know, it's unproven. You know, you talk a lot. I mean, some people mention, just like in the instance of a Bigfoot, I've heard people, you know, talk about, have people told me that they'd see one of these beings, these Bigfoot, or be tracking one, and the thing would just disappear suddenly, like it walked into a void. That happens a lot. And that's just not the only cryptid where it has happened. It just seems that some of these beings, and in particular what we've been working on here in Pennsylvania with these upright canines, these lichens, they just seem to pop up and then suddenly disappear or just take, you know, go into the void. I can't explain it. I just think it depends on the situation and the location. Some locations, for whatever reason, seem to harbor this type of phenomena. And I've noticed here in Pennsylvania in particular that there do seem to be a lot of areas where this type of anomaly will occur.
And are these canines literally upright? They walk on their hind legs?
Yeah. The description is very similar for the most part. If you know the movie, the Underworld series with the lichens and the vampires, it looks the descriptions are very similar to the lichens in that movie series. Very tall, some up to 10 foot in height. The human-like legs, arms, very muscular, but hair covered for the most part with wolf-like heads. And but they had, for the most, we have never heard of an attack, an actual attack, but we've had people who have told us that they've walked up to these things and they don't run away. They stand their ground. And many of these witnesses have been armed as well and just are just scared or whatever reason, paralyzed to the point they can't draw a weapon on this thing.
I would imagine that would be pretty traumatic, a 10 foot werewolf, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are two types that we have that have been described to us. The uprights, which are on the two, the bipedals, and there are also these quadrupeds, which I just call them dogmen. They kind of look like a large hyena with the, you know, the slope back, and though the head looks more like that of a wolf than a hyena, but they are like I said, they don't stand up on two legs. They're quadrupeds. We've had a few sightings of those in Pennsylvania as well. So, you know, I don't know exactly what we're dealing with. I don't believe for the most part they're indigenous, but I do believe that there very well may be some flesh and blood pockets of these things that do migrate from Pennsylvania down into the West Virginia area along the ridges. It seems like a lot of these sightings are along these ridge lines in the Appalachian and Allegheny Mountains. So, you know, I don't know if that's actually true, but, you know, we have had reports of these things just suddenly showing up or having that supernatural look to it, to where it's either having a shiny-like look or type of a, I don't know, hologram type of look to it. Just a few of those, but, I mean, I'm not discounting anything at this point.
Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, are there any sightings that are around military bases or anything like that? Any, like, I always think of, when I think about weird sightings, you know, maybe the possibility of them being sighted around government installations, you know, maybe like genetic experiments gone awry or something.
Well, here in Pennsylvania, there are a lot of old facilities that are no longer used. Many are in disrepair. During World War II, for the most part, there were a lot of locations that the military took up in wilderness areas here in Pennsylvania. And they're scattered around fairly well. The one advantage to being here in Pennsylvania, as far as these cryptids would go, there's a lot of places for them to hide, because if they are indigenous, it does seem a lot of them show up in areas where there are old coal mines. A lot of them show up in swampy areas, So I don't know. There's a lot of wilderness still in this state.
What were you going to say, Sherry, earlier?
I was going to say, what was the most unusual report that you've had in your career?
Oh, God. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I get so many unusual reports. I've been doing this now for over 40 years, and you know, I really don't have what I would call a favorite. You know, it does seem to grow more bizarre every year, to be honest with you. Now, I don't know why that is, but we do seem to get some of the more arcane type of sightings as the years go on. And, you know, that's just not me. That's a lot of investigators will say that. Some of the reports they get are just so out there that, you know, a lot of them just will not look into it. You know, I look into everything, you know. I don't discount a thing until I look into it.
And especially if you find that evidence are from all over the different places, you know, and the pattern seems to be the same, or the you know, the range of what they look like and that kind of thing. There must be something to it when you have different places that are reporting, like Mothman or, you know, something, you know, different.
Well, a lot of this cryptid phenomena kind of goes, kind of shows up in pockets. Certain areas in North America, it just kind of shows up in pockets. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's just, you know, if you're talking interdimensional, do these things come through certain portals that are in certain locations? That's hard to tell. But even with the Bigfoot sightings, you know, you've got certain parts of the country where these things are more prevalent. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's it can really be described like that, though. You know, the Bigfoot phenomena in this country is, you know, it's pretty widespread. I mean, you know, I don't believe now there's any state within the lower 48 where this thing hasn't shown up somewhere.
I think one of the reasons that I'm so skeptical about everything, particularly Bigfoot, is there's so many fakers out there. I mean, there were fakers that were traveling the country saying they had a body. There are, you know, documentaries suggesting that they shot a Bigfoot. And, you know, with the advent of CGI and Photoshop, it's hard to know what to believe anymore. And it's like so many people are being deceptive on the subject of the paranormal. It's like you just shake your head and you just start become skeptical of everything.
Yeah, I don't rely on video that much anymore. Like you said, there is so much manipulation and fakery out there. When you get a report, just say you get a report on the phone, you know, you do have to be wary, and you do all you can to try to follow up on it. If I can get somebody on the ground to actually meet and talk to this person, I'm going to do it. I'm lucky enough to have a lot of people in different locations and the ability to have them look into things that I can verify a lot, you know, if it's real or, you know, or let's put it this way, if the person actually believes what they saw. I'm not saying everything sees and describes as being real is actually reality. You know, people's minds work in funny ways sometimes. They may actually believe they saw it and swear to God they saw this thing, but all in all, it's something other than what they think it was. So, you know, you're always on the lookout to make sure you get as much information you can. And I've got enough associates and colleagues that I can bounce it off of, come up with a plausible theory as to what it really was or wasn't.
it seems also like one of the motivating factors out there is, you know, videos have people want their videos to go viral, and a lot of these paranormal ones do, and then now people write these books and then they get movie deals, and it's like a lot of, it seems, my observation is a lot of people in the paranormal really want to be, you know, the next TV show or be in a movie, and I think that might be some of the motivation behind what's going on out there.
Well, it may be some of the motivation. You know, I have found it kind of goes into two groups. You've got people that get into that for the sole reason of notoriety. And, of course, they'll seek out the these producers. And believe me, these production companies hound me all the time about stories or getting people, witnesses, to come forward so they can do a show and this and that. I get it all the time. Now, I have been on a couple of shows over the years because of one was because of personal experience, and the other was because something that was really out there that caught the eye of a production company. But for the most part, I kind of stay away from that now, though I'm involved with the Mothman Dynasty book. I did transact the book option on that. So I'm working on a possible production to bring that out, kind of explain what was going on or what's going on out in Chicago. And, you know, this type of thing leads to opportunities, but personally, I've never sought out. I've never sought out the notoriety. It's one of these things that, you know, they come to you, and many times you just take it with a grain of salt and just say, yeah, and just back away. But fortunately, though, for me and my crew, we're involved now with the situation, which I really can't say too much about, but it may lead to some type of media presentation in the future.
Ah, very cool. Now, what about UFOs? Anything going on out there in with UFOs in the U.S.? I haven't really been hearing a lot of big sightings, but I haven't also been looking for it either.
Well, you know, that's an interesting question that came up this week. There was an article that came out in, and I forget the publication, that stated that UFO sightings in the United States overall have decreased over the years. And that's just based on a reports made to MUFON or NUFORC, which are the two top reporting agencies. I don't believe that at all. I actually believe the UFO sighting reports have increased dramatically. And the reason I say that is I never used to get UFO reports. I get 3 to 5 of them a day now, literally. My colleague, Butch Wachowski, U4 Cop, the UFO Research Center, Pennsylvania, he gets a lot of sightings daily as well. And we kind of bounce these sightings and reports off each other. I have heard from many other researchers and investigators that they receive private sighting reports constantly. I believe that MUFON and NUFORC has come to a point with these groups that it's kind of, people get the feeling that it's kind of, and by word of mouth, basically, that these groups are kind of going by the wayside. And a lot of the reports that are filed with them are just never followed up. And I think people get very frustrated. Many of the reports I've gotten are from people who made reports to the reporting agencies that just never got followed up. And I've had at least one real interesting situation that was, you know, reported to MUFON for years and just never followed up on it. That was the David Eckhart abductions. And you know, I took a flyer on with him and researched it, and it turned out very, very interesting set of circumstances that involved him and his family.
I dealt with MUFON 20 years ago, and I wasn't impressed. But it was only one time. But, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of that stuff isn't getting reported. It's become so mainstream lately that maybe, maybe it's just becoming, people are normalizing it, you know, to it with all the movies and everything else and just don't report stuff.
I don't know. I don't know if I can say that. It seems like we do get a lot of incidental reports of, I believe a large majority of these reports are something of like a plane or something that people see and kind of react to. You know, you got a lot of those. But there has been a certain phenomenon over the years, over the recent years, that has been occurring more and more, and that is this orb sightings, these groups of orbs and flying orbs that are low to the ground in certain locations. A lot of times these orbs are associated with cryptid sightings, in particular Bigfoot sightings. I believe there's a definite relationship there somehow.
I have seen this. It's interesting you bring that up. I have seen this three different times. 20 years ago, Northern California, rural area. First time I saw one of those, it was I was in a truck with three other people, and it was this bright white orb, not a star, not far away, really, really close, and it slowly descended behind a hill that was right in front of us. Another time I saw it in the same area, and it was paralleling behind some trees. I don't know how big it was, but if I had to guess, probably somewhere between the size of a basketball or a VW bug. And I've seen it three different times.
Yeah, I mean, that's, those type of sightings are becoming more prevalent. We got a lot of those sightings. And more times than before, that it's associated with some type of cryptid sighting in the same area.
Wow.
There have been Bigfoot reports that have come into colleagues of mine here in Pennsylvania, to where they would go back out to the location a day or so later and check it out for evidence, and they would notice orbs flying around. Now, what the relationship is, well, you can speculate, you know. Stan Gordon's been saying for years, and there have been many reports over the years of UFO activity and Bigfoot activity at the same time. Is there a relationship? Sure, I think there very well may be. You know, you look at Point Pleasant during the Mothman, sightings back in 66 and 67. There were a lot of UFO sightings at the same time. In the area, all throughout Mason County. A lot of paranormal phenomena as well. So is there a connection? Yeah, I believe that it very well may be.
So you were talking about cryptids being around the orb thing. One thing I wanted to add to my little story was one time around the time of one of those incidents, it was night, saw the orb, whatever, went to sleep. And then the next morning I woke up, I was in this little cabin, and there's tall grass. It's a large property, probably an acre, really tall grass. And in the morning, going back where the tall grass was, the grass was pushed over in a path, and the color of the grass changed. It was a reddish pink. So I followed this path where the grass had changed, and it wasn't there the day before, to a fence that was bent over. And I was just thinking of, well, maybe it was a cryptid that some irradiated a path of grass or something.
Yeah, I mean,
who knows?
That could have been involved with either a cryptid or an orb or something to that effect. Yeah, these, I have heard similar type of descriptions. These orbs leaving imprints somehow on vegetation. where people thought it may have been a cryptid or something other than that, but the only thing I was seeing was an orb. Now, are the orbs connected to these beings? I believe it could be. I had an habituation situation up in Nova Scotia several years ago, where this farmer in north central Nova Scotia had a lot of Bigfoot sightings, different sizes, age groups, and such. It seemed to be an habituation on his farm and the surrounding woods. The UFO and orb activity there was unbelievable. I mean, it was amazing. He had had several encounters with these large craft that were circular, he had also seen many orbs all through his property. At the same time, you know, these Bigfoot would be seen. He had put out a trail camera one night, and you saw one or two orbs go by. Then this hairy hand of some type went in front of the camera. So you know, who knows? But there have been several instances where these things have been seen together.
Now, Law, we do have a caller. Are you open to take any questions?
Sure.
Let's get this caller. Caller, you're live on Paranormal
Hello.
Horizons. Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this is George. I respect your take on aliens. I will give you that. I say that aliens are real. But, however, when you do mention and say, you know, stuff like you put in your title demons, right? So, I mean, do they I don't know exactly if people say, oh, the bad stuff and like demons. I'm liable as a person to say that, does that really exist? I mean, really think about it deeply. Is that real?
Depends what you describe as a demon. I personally don't believe in demons. I believe in evil, and I believe in evil entities and malevolency, but I don't believe in what people call demons. I think demon is just a religious type of moniker for evil.
So, like, what entities, like, can they come in people? Can people, like, I don't know, have any involvement with these entities?
Well, for the most part, when you're talking about entities and spirits and such, the malevolent beings, for the most part, are earthbound. And
right.
When I say earthbound, these are energies that are from deceased people that stay on this level, that never move on to another level. And for the most part, these entities, these earthbounds, demonstrate characteristics that are very similar to what it was when they were alive. And sometimes they don't even realize they're dead, and that seems to cause problems. But if they were evil or mean during their lifetime, they're sure going to be like that when they're dead. That energy maintains that.
Yeah. What do you think about Ouija boards? Do you think Ouija boards are real, or do you think it's the science behind them? Because I've seen a video explaining, like, there's a science behind Ouija boards and why or how they work, and it's not really you that's moving it. It's a motor movement in the brain that actually makes you move the board. Like, what's your take on that? Do you believe it, or?
Well, you're talking about PK or psychokinesis. I don't know. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not. I have seen people demonstrate psychokinesis. I have seen where people have manifested thought forms. As far as the Ouija board goes, it's a divination tool. It's a conduit that can open up into or open up a portal or gateway to things that may come in through that or not what you're trying to find. I mean, I have had experience with a Ouija board when I was younger, and the reason why I stay away from them now, that caused that had a major impact on my life. And you know, like any divination tool, now I'm talking about tarot, crystal, you know, scrying, anything, is if you're using an adamant object, it needs to be cleaned. It needs to be cleared. And too many times when it comes to the Ouija board, I think these summoned entities, these energies, can remain with the board. You know, you heard about people talking about haunted objects, that there leaves an imprint, an energy, an imprint on an object. I think it's the same situation with Ouija boards.
Do you think that sometimes people who have done bad in their life sometimes come and try to, and like, I've seen these things on people embodying other people. What do you think on that? Like people living past lives and people coming back as other people?
Well, as far as reincarnation or something to that effect, I don't know if that really is an issue. I think, I mean, there are instances where people, the life force of a person remains, and the energy can either be increased somehow by the situation with the human host, and there can be, you know, an attachment which could very well end up being a possession of some type eventually. So, you know, it's possible. Most attachments I have seen are what we call a trickster type of entity that just, for whatever reason, has an attraction to the host. Many times these hosts are what we call beacons, or have abilities, psychic type abilities, that kind of draw these energies to them.
Mm. Well, I'm just looking at the clock, it looks like we're running out of. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Thing.
One quick.
So does a person who specifically has seen ghosts before, like myself, which I agree with you. Have you ever like seen like. So a person such as myself, these entities or these energies seem to, like, latch on, you're saying?
It can, but for the most part, ghost sightings are a residual type of energy. It's not necessarily an earthbound spirit. A lot of times it's something that just kind of manifests itself for whatever reason. But, yeah, I mean, if you get a strong enough spirit, strong enough energy that has an attraction and is able to feed upon a host or a family or such, if there's like dysfunction or other problems going on in a family, that can increase and manifest as something much more dangerous.
Thank you. All right.
Thanks for calling in, caller. Good questions.
So let me ask you quickly before we go offline, how do you suggest to our listeners to cleanse, whether it's an object or whatever it is? What do you suggest?
What's that again?
I said, how would you suggest to cleanse an item or anything like that?
Well, there's a lot of ways of you're talking about cleaning an object that may have some type of energy attached to it?
Exactly. That is correct.
Okay. There's several ways of doing it. I myself use my ability, my intuitive ability, to move this, move these energies off the items. There are other ways of doing it. People use salt sometimes just to put on the item for a certain period of time. But I believe using white light and intention goes a long way into taking care of it. And that's what I use.
And it's very simple.
Yeah, it's not that hard to do.
You don't have to go to a big ritual and make it more complicated.
No.
I feel the same way as you do.
The law of intention works in a lot of different ways, and it takes a little practice, but you can use it to protect yourself as well as clearing objects that you've either been working with or that you believe or that have an attachment to it.
That's really good information.
Looking at the clock here, we're out of time. So if anybody wants to get in contact with you or check out your books, where could they go to do that?
Well, the blog is at phantomsandmonsters.com. I offer a free newsletter, a daily newsletter there. You go to the module in the right-hand column and just put your email in there and verify it, and you will receive a copy each day. My books are all on Amazon. All you need to do is just search my name, Lon Strickler, and they'll come up.
All righty. Well, Lon, hey, I want to thank you a lot for coming on the show tonight. Very informative. And we appreciate you and your time this evening.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate it. That's awesome.
You take care.
Awesome, Lon. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yay! Another great guest.
Absolutely. I know what that caller was talking about. He was talking about the ideomotor effect, or, you know, and I've seen stuff. I've always been kind of skeptical too about the Ouija board, but you're not going to catch me playing with one. I used to when I was little and weird stuff happened, and I think it does come down, it all comes down to the power of intention. So if you intend bad things are going to happen no matter what sort of divination you're using.
Then you want to always have, you know, protection, I believe, always protection. And just like you said, it's like being able to have something in the light, God's white light. But I personally wouldn't use the Ouija board. I don't use divination or anything like that. And it's just something that, you know, it's not of interest to me, number one. And number two is I don't need that. I feel like I don't need tools to get to the point there, to get to the top of the mountain. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, anyway,
well, we gotta...
next week we're going to have Clyde Lewis.
Huge guest, host of Ground Zero, nationally syndicated radio show. He's on 300 radio stations?
Yep, he is. He's over 300. Yes, he is, over 300. And he's just amazing. I like to talk to him, and we're going to have his sidekick, Ron Patton, going to be on the schedule. I don't have my calendar, but we're going to have his sidekick, his partner, Ron Patton, on the show. So I'm excited to have him. He's a local boy from Hawaii, and it's really going to be cool. So anyway, we got a very good lineup, and I'm just pleased to have really good guests. Each and every guest that we have, I just really appreciate them from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for their time. Appreciate it, and we both do. So anyway, just it's time to close.
Cool. Well, hope everybody has a fantastic and safe week. And if you haven't already, give us a like on Facebook, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. And with that, we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. with Clyde Lewis, host of Ground Zero. Good night, everyone.
Take care. Take care, guys. Peace.